What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, real quick, before we get into CJ's commentary yesterday in his press conference, we're getting a lot of texts, and it's not just this morning. It's basically been since we knew on Sunday afternoon that the Texans would be playing the Chiefs. And I understand some of it is like funny ha-ha memes of Patrick Mahomes having the referees over to his house for Christmas and things like that. Those are very funny. But those of you that are legitimately concerned, like this is going to be what tips the game, that the league and the referees somehow are conspiring to get the Chiefs into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I don't even care if you're right or wrong, but I think you're wrong. And I think I speak for Seth here because we just discussed it during the break. Payne and Pendergast find that to be a boring topic.
It's like, all right. I mean, it's easy to do, and to just let's blame somebody else or blame a vast conspiracy that right. somehow chose the Chiefs, God knows why.
Yeah.
That there are memos out there or something ordering. I don't buy into it. I think it's a horrible way to live your life. I think that yes, there's going to be bad calls in football games. There always are. And you know what? Sometimes good teams or good players are going to get the benefit of the doubt. That's just the way it's always been. But I like to look at it like, oh, you got to overcome this, you got to overcome that. I just don't think it's nearly as big a factor as that some people have let it be in their minds. Now, if you show me receipts, show me actual documentation, show me actual evidence or something.
Emails.
Then we can have a conversation versus like, it sure does feel like,
yeah.
I need more than that.
Yeah.
I need more than that.
I'm bringing this up out of respect for you, the listener, not to drive you away. I'm not telling you go listen somewhere else. What I'm telling you is that if that's what you're coming to the store for, reading these texts that are preemptively bitching about the referees, then yeah. That product is not in the store this week. Like if that, like that's the equivalent of like if you go to a pizza joint and you like the meatballs there, like the appetizer, that appetizer's not on the menu this week. Sorry. Now, if for you that's actual pizza, you know, like that's like, then sorry, then this yeah. pizza joint does not have pizza this week. So you were just not, yeah, like that's, I find it to be a boring and a small topic. Like if that's your angle on the game, then I just think like I as a sports fan, like you just said, like how do you go through life as a sports fan worrying all week about the referees leading up to a game? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Let's see where Kansas City is on total number of penalties. crap. Third fewest in the league.
They're a good team. Can I say they're a good team? Why'd you have to do that out loud? Where are the Texans?
I think Texans, last time I checked, I thought they were middle of the road. Uh-oh. Oh, fourth? They've got the fifth most in the league. Now, if you removed Laremy Tunsil's unfortunate penalties from earlier in the season,
yeah.
they'd actually be in the bottom half.
Okay.
So it's a it and Laremy Tunsil's. I don't know why there's still a lot of people that want to make excuses for Laremy Tunsil's penalties,
yeah.
and he's been much better over the second half. He you could tell he made a conscious effort to clean it up. He had that blip in the Titans game, which I'm cool with. I don't want to excuse that, but it was a blip. But without it was an extreme. It was a record breaking pace he was on. Without Laremy Tunsil's penalties, they would be, I think, in like the top the third fewest penalties.
And
in the
he's
league.
Cleaned that up to your point. Like that's a trend that has that's gone away.
Yeah. No. And as far as like and honestly, yeah, there is. Like the actual specific penalties and everything, I think the Chiefs played relatively clean football. You'd probably look at Juwan Taylor in the last few years, and that's the biggest issue they've had. So I just don't worry about it. I very rarely have ever worried about that, other than when, you know, there might have been valid reasons to be concerned whether there's going to be retribution against the Astros.
Yeah.
I can't go through life that way.
No.
I can't go through life that way thinking that the game is rigged. Okay, why bother playing then? I'm not going to, until I've got clear. Unless you show me the email where Roger Goodell ordered all the officials to somehow give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I'm not gonna go through.
We want electronic proof on this show. That's what we want.
Yeah.
CJ was funny yesterday. CJ was asked about the tribute T-shirts that the team was wearing for Tank Dell in warm-ups before the Chargers playoff game. Here's what CJ had to say about
it. It's kind of, you know, I don't like it, but I mean, I like that, but it's just, it reminds me of like the funeral shirts and, you know, that's kind of what we do back home is like, right. I'd rather, you know, be there for somebody than rather just wear a T-shirt. So, but I don't mind wearing the shirt. But I think our EQ gets them for us, and it's a good way to remember somebody for that year, you know. But I don't want them to ever think like they just on the shirt. Like I actually do check up on my guys who aren't playing no more, you know, care for them more than just wearing a T-shirt. So, but you know, they're dope. You know, it's a good way. I hope they like it. But you know, I think I don't know if I would want to be all up on a shirt, you know. I think it's amazing that we do that and everybody shows respect to that person who is out for the rest of the year. But thank God they're not on the other side.
He caught himself because he kind of didn't want to disrespect the gesture or right. Anything. I kind of like that. If I'm going to read too much into CJ not really being cool with the funeral shirt for Tank Dell, you put things in perspective a little bit. And CJ looked like he had a hard time recovering emotionally from Tank Dell's injury in that game.
Yeah.
You just always got to remember it's a like these awful injuries in sports usually are orthopedic injuries. Like, there's the Damar Hamlin incident and things like that, or when somebody has a spinal, that's really, really scary stuff. And Tank Dell's injury was awful, and it was really, really, you feel really bad for Tank Dell. But there's a certain level of stoicism you got to have about this stuff. And remember, ultimately, at the end of the day, right, like, it's not life or death. This is, let's play some football.
It was weird. I'm glad CJ acknowledged it that way because it was very strange. There was a picture that was circulating that I saw before the game. CJ had the Tank T-shirt on, and he was on the right. Diggs is in the middle. Diggs just has like a cool ass leather jacket on. And then there's Tank on his crutches on the left. And I'm going, this looks a little awkward here, like that CJ's wearing the tribute T-shirt to someone who's standing 3 feet away from him, like you know, to the left. I almost, like, to CJ's point about like the life or death aspect of it, I almost expected Tank to like have that glow around him that like Jedi's do when they pass into the Netherworld.
Oh, like he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Like he's a Force ghost.
Like he's actually standing there as a ghost or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, like a Tank Dell. Like there's CJ, there's Diggs, and there's a Tank Dell Force ghost, and CJ's got his RIP Tank shirt on.
That's what we should do in our Payne and Pendergast T-shirt store. Is in advance, let's do your funeral shirt and my funeral shirt.
Oh yeah. Oh, that would be badass.
Who makes the best funeral shirts? I'm unfamiliar with this whole thing.
Text in.
Is it a SoCal thing, the funeral shirts, or what?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And CJ, I think I just figured out. Seth's going to make fun of me for this, I can tell. When CJ said that EQ got the shirts for us, I started scouring the Texans roster to see whose initials were E and Q.
Oh, yeah.
But it just dawned on me, he was talking about the equipment managers, probably, right? Like the equipment people?
Probably. I didn't know for sure either. I assumed that's what it was, but I didn't know for sure.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was like a standard football term that I was unfamiliar with.
No, because at first I thought, like, is that the name for whatever the player programs guy is now or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so because he had said they at some point, right, yeah. when he was referring
he
to
He did,
EQ.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's probably talking about the equipment
okay,
staff.
Okay, gotcha.
I like that lingo.
I do, too.
Yeah, I'd never heard that before.
EQ, all right. Yeah.
Acronyms are good.
Yes.
Swarm much? Yeah.
Here was CJ. Okay, CJ, I don't know if I like this cut right here. CJ was asked by somebody about, hey, did you, when you were growing up, when you were a kid, did you watch the NFL playoffs? And what are there any games out there in particular that you recall in watching the playoffs?
Yeah, I definitely looked up to a lot of guys growing up, and watched these type of games growing up. And, I remember watching Houston play in Kansas City some years back and went up early, and they ended up coming back, So I'm not saying that's how it's going to go, but I remember watching that one. I remember watching all the AFC championships with Burrow and Mahomes, and I watched the one with Josh Allen and Mahomes, all those great games. So, I've always wanted to be in these type of moments, which is amazing. I'm able to do it in year two again. I'm definitely not taking it for granted and definitely, going to try to earn my op and, try to run with it. So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. When he said he mentioned, the Texans playing the Chiefs,
yeah.
I did think, okay.
There's not a good answer to that question.
What was the score of the 2016 game?
It was 30 to nothing.
30 to nothing?
Yeah, 30 to nothing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that as being as bad as it was. Yeah, as soon as he said the Chiefs in the playoffs, it's like, well, this is not going to end well. And then he brought up the comeback. If anything, though, a 16-year-old CJ is watching that game.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, all right, if I'm ever playing against Pat Mahomes,
yeah.
no lead is safe.
That's right. That's right, yeah. No, he's going to be on his toes that whole game.
Especially when you got the officials on your side. I'm joking. Joking.
CJ, why'd you have to bring that up, man? Why'd you have to do that?
I'm glad that he's aware of that. Now, he didn't. Somebody in the press conference had mentioned that the Texans have never been to the conference championship. And see, I was surprised CJ said he wasn't aware of that.
Do you believe
probably
him?
Just, I think he just probably hadn't been thinking about it as an obstacle. Mm-hmm. He probably kind of, like, if he had time to think about it, he probably would have been able to tell you. He just hadn't, like, it tells me this. D'Amico hasn't gotten up in front of them and said, he hasn't given the old Bill O'Brien speech of, like, guys, this organization has sucked in the past. Ah, bunch of bums used to play here, except for me. And so he hasn't done that speech that Bill O'Brien did at Hard Knocks.
That was for his coaches. Remember that? He's like sitting at the head of the table telling all the coaches what trash the organization's been before they got there.
This organization, bunch of worthless hoes up until now. So let's do something about it, hey? And the disrespect the disrespect to our awful, awful quarterback.
Who went on
These
to lose.
These guys don't think Brian Hoyer's an all-pro.
Who went on to lose a playoff game 30 to nothing to the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Here was D'Amico. One of the more interesting things from the playoff games this weekend was A.J. Brown reading a book on the sidelines, like during the game, like in between series, pulling out a book. What's the name of the book again, Seth? You're reading it.
Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy.
Inner Excellence.
Several chapters into it, which is not as impressive as it sounds when you're talking about a self-help book. Usually these are whole lot of lists in this book, but I'm enjoying it so far.
That's my kind of book. I got to read that, too.
Yeah.
Here was D'Amico Ryans. They asked him on the coach's show, Mark and John did, if a player reading a book in-game, what would you think if you saw a player reading a book on the sidelines?
What's wrong with this guy? No. First off, where did the book come from?
How did it get out there?
How did it get out here? Yeah. Like, that would be my first thought is, how did you get a book? And what are you reading?
Team introductions, you're carrying it.
What are you reading about? Yeah. Never seen that, but AJ, whatever keeps you grounded, man, keep doing it. I guess it's working for him.
Yeah. D'Amico didn't have any clue about the story of it at first when they asked him that. Yeah, so it wasn't like he was just kind of, when they asked him reading a book on the sideline, I think in most people's minds, your mind immediately goes like, what, like Jane Austen? Is he reading a Dean Koontz thriller? D'Amico didn't know that it's actually a book for athletes on how to achieve inner excellence.
Yeah.
And I would imagine D'Amico after learning about the story and everything, he'd probably be all about it. You know, D'Amico's got a few self-help books behind him in his office. One of them is The Energy Bus, which I read. And I think D'Amico would probably... I read after I found out that D'Amico had read it. I think that D'Amico would probably be cool. Like, yeah, like these things, like I believe in them. And yeah, if it works for guys, then for sure use it.
Do you think that once he's healthy again, once his Achilles is repaired for a second time, that Deshaun will have the coffee bean tucked under the bench for when he starts playing football again?
The coffee bean, which he listed as his favorite book.
You read the coffee bean twice during a single break in our show. One time.
During a bathroom break.
Yeah,
it's a hardcover pamphlet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fine. It was fine. it was really, I can't remember the author of that book. I've come to like him because he kind of like, his books are more like a collection of parables or something.
Yeah.
It almost reads a little bit like, they read almost like some of the stories you hear on Christian radio,
right.
You know, of like the way that's like a short story that tells a life lesson. The Energy Bus is kind of like that too.
Yep.
I've come to appreciate those books, even though they're not my cup of tea or my coffee bean per se, but I they're good to give to groups because, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to give your whole team a 400-page book that's like science grounded and everything. They're not going to read it.
Well,
so you give them these books that are digestible and they work well.
If we're being honest, Deshaun wouldn't have the coffee bean under the bench tucked there. He would have Pass It On by Deshaun Watson underneath
Pass
the bench.
It On. Oh, that's right. I read that book too. Well, no, I read parts of that book.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to have it. I think I got rid of it. I don't know why.
Wow. How much did you get for it?
Oh, yeah. the biggest message I've gotten from that book so far, which is I think it's probably perfect for AJ Brown, and I'm guessing somebody gave it to him right around the time that he and Jalen Hurts were reportedly having some kind of issue.
Yeah.
The big one is adopting an attitude of selflessness over self-centeredness and just kind of getting out of your own head in terms of what your expectations are, what's your measuring stick for success in bringing it back into the things that really matter. And then also understanding that as you're trying to achieve excellence as an athlete, you should be doing those same things to actually improve your life and your quality of life and everything. Like, they should be one and the same. So like all the things that you're doing to be a better athlete should also be making you a better and happier person. But a lot of it is about getting away from being self-centered. And I think for receivers especially, you know, because that's a lot of stuff goes on that affects the stat line for a wide receiver. AJ Brown could play the game of his life, but only get like 3 targets because he's getting doubled all the time.
Yep.
You got to figure out a way for that to not bother you. So I would guarantee you that D'Amico, if he knows the whole story and why AJ Brown is reading it, D'Amico would be all about that.
Oh yeah. And you give a thumbs up to that book so far.
They're all good.
Yeah.
If you got like the self-help books, like there's you read enough of them and it's all the same stuff. Yeah. You can trace them all back to various Western and Eastern philosophers. They just package it in different ways, but they're all good little inner reminders of those same lessons, but just with a different phrasing. And it reminds you of things.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Peyton Manning on the Manningcast. Manningcast highlights that I saw were pretty good this week. It was Belichick's last Manningcast. So the goodbye that they gave him was excellent from one Manning in particular. But Peyton Manning laying out the rules for quarterbacks buying gifts for teammates was pretty funny. We'll get to that and a whole lot more as we roll on here on a Wednesday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Seth, you got that look on your face. What's going
on? So I asked for evidence of Pat Mahomes getting, there's a conspiracy to help Pat Mahomes. And somebody brought up the viral tweet from the September of this year. Go ahead and read the text.
The text, you're talking about the one about the interceptions?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fact that Mahomes has had 17 interceptions called back by penalty since 2018. That's the most in the league.
Right. This is the problem with that stat, is that, for one, he's had more pass attempts than anybody else in the league since that time, but also that you have to remember that a lot of those interceptions that were called back for penalty were because the penalty was offsides.
Free
so
play.
He's taken his shots on a free play. Like, when people dug into that, it was not nearly the damning evidence of a conspiracy that people thought it was. But people love latching onto it.
Yeah.
Which I, like, honestly, have fun with that. Have fun with your whole attitude in life towards that. Yeah. Like, they're a really good football team. They're a really good football team. They play clean football. And yeah, they're like, I don't care. Yeah. Do good players get the benefit of the doubt from the officials more so, and older players versus younger players? Sure.
In every
sport.
But
it's nothing that, like, if you're going into a game thinking that the biggest thing you have to worry about is going to be some kind of cabal that's in charge of giving generous officiating to the Chiefs, then why even bother watching the game?
Well,
the other thing too, one of the other texts was, a single call by the official can change the game.
The refs can make or break a game. That's the test.
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
Right.
Like, what? Duh. Why do I have to answer that with duh? Because, right, I would never deny that. The issue is when you start to think that, oh, in the fourth quarter, here we go. Yep, they're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
Like, it just, stop it.
It's weak.
It's just, it's weak. Yeah, it's worrying about things that you're creating in your own brain as an excuse in advance. As much as possible, try to avoid making excuses in advance in life.
Yeah, I think it's weak after games. Like, I think generally speaking, as a show, we're not a ref-blaming show.
The Chiefs got hosed on a couple of calls in the first game with the Texans, too.
Yeah.
I think the Texans probably got the brunt of it just by, and I'm not claiming because it was a conspiracy or something. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
But there were bad calls against the Chiefs in that game as well.
To be very clear, I think the Mahomes memes of him doing fun things with refs are very funny. But if we're taking it seriously, like that this is like the conspiracy that the league is the Chiefs penciled in for the Super Bowl.
The fun thing about it is that Chiefs fans are hypersensitive about it.
Very sensitive.
Yeah, they are incredibly sensitive about it, to the point where it's all they can think about, seemingly, at times. And that's where I would encourage people to keep talking about it and make jokes about it
else.
There's nothing funnier in America in modern times than people reaching the highest, ascending to the highest spot, and then being astounded that there's not universal praise and acceptance of them. That's just the way life works, man.
Right.
That heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yep.
The people, you know what people love even more than champions? Watching a champion fall.
Yeah.
And that's why I would tell you, dear Texans fan, don't concern yourself with conspiracy theories about officials. Just go worry about shooting the champion in the back.
Enjoy.
And watching him die. Okay?
Yes. Kill the
That's
king.
What's fun. Watching people bleed out on the frozen ground.
Yes.
All right? That's what brings me joy in life.
That's
not whining and complaining.
Correct.
And bitching.
Yep.
Conquering my enemy
and
then taking his family into my home and making them take my last name. That's what I live for. Give me your territories and lands and all of your gold.
I can't wait for the Chiefs to be 53 guys with a Stroud jersey, the Stroud on their back. They're all going to take CJ's last name.
But I will, and honestly, though, I don't want to discourage the chatter about it too much because it does bother Chiefs fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because I tried to make a simple passing joke about it in a video. And my God, I set a record for most dislikes on a video from Chiefs fans who need to come and defend
down,
Pat Mahomes' honor. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So Peyton Manning and Eli Manning had the Manning cast during the Monday night game this week, the Vikings and the Rams. Peyton, at one point here in the show on during the game, laid out the rules for quarterbacks giving gifts to their teammates, to their offensive line. Let's see if we can figure out who he's talking about in this first one here.
What do you want to vent about? You want to vent?
These linemen gifts now, okay? A couple rules. I mean, you and I did them, right? And take care of these guys because they deserve to be taken care of. But we have to spend our own money, quarterbacks. We can't be using sponsors and credit and putting it all on TV. We have to actually spend money. So I'm not accusing anybody of not spending money, but let's be sure we keep spending our money.
I want to hear some
take
examples.
Care of our linemen.
It's like a promotion.
I'm just saying we have to spend our money.
Brock Purdy gave a bunch Toyotas?
Toyotas, yeah.
Toyota Tundras, too. Is that, like, there's no way in hell Brock Purdy on his first contract sprung for a bunch of Toyotas.
He probably could, but it'd be really stupid.
About that is that if they were Toyotas given by the company as part of a promotion, I can almost guarantee you that they were like 2-year leases.
Yeah.
It's not like they gave them. So it was a nice gesture and everything, but they did it for the gram. So the Instagram, that is. So the advice I'd give to football players, young football players, is at Christmas time when you're giving gifts to your actual family members. I was like several years in the league before I realized this. I would get people a bunch of gear, from the team. Which I would buy at the team store, and I would get a discount, but it was like the cool gear that was new. There were some things that I have like that wasn't available to the public that I would give out. But like, I remember my brother kind of joking about it once because one of his friends had said like, "Oh wow, Seth really hooked you up." And he told his friend like, "Well, I mean, it's not like he's paying for it." And I was like, "You son of a bitch." I'm like, "Yes, I did pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm at a nice discount, but I paid for it. Damn it. So don't even bother. Don't even bother giving out sweet team gear to your family because
they think
you're just giving them your throwaways.
It's good advice to players, man.
Or at least inform them of it.
Right.
But then it gets conspicuous because then you're like, "Oh, and I pay, by the way, if you need to return that."
I have the receipt right here.
I did pay money for it.
Yeah, here's the receipt. Here's Peyton also. I like this one here. You know, my background is in sales. You earn what you earn. No, nothing is given to you. I like this from Peyton Manning right here. No gifts if you play poorly.
It's not a Christmas gift. You have to block well to get a gift. You don't have, like, a couple years, like, we didn't make the playoffs. I didn't get my guys anything. Like, you didn't block that well. So you don't feel obligated, quarterbacks, if you don't, your team doesn't make the playoffs, you have to get them a gift. That's like a participation medal. Block well, I'll give you a gift, right? No wolf, no part, okay? No playoffs, no gift.
this is the part where it's fun because you get to see the kind of sociopathic side of a great leader.
Yeah.
Is that he doesn't understand the difference between a bonus and a gift. Like, all right, if you're giving it because of performance, it's not a gift per se. That's a bonus.
Right.
And, sometimes the line gets murky. But and it doesn't matter in Peyton's mind. It's like, no, I'm only going to reward. I would advise everybody to do this in your personal life with your children as well. Power rank them as much as possible. Be sure they're aware of the power rankings and they'll feel it and they'll understand come Christmas time.
This is unfair when you do. Your child is an only child. This is unfair when you encourage people to do this.
I know. I do the power ranking. It's a
one of one.
Yeah. I do it. I'm not giving any advice I haven't taken myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Peyton also.
I should power rank all of the cousins. Like, like everybody needs to power rank just their own children.
Yes.
And the cousins, the first cousins.
And live stream it. I want to see the reactions.
I'm going to send it out to my brother and sister and yes. my in-laws, everything.
That's funny. Peyton also said he gave gifts to his linemen in high school.
In high school, didn't you give your linemen some gifts in high school? I got them isotoner gloves, which it gets very cold in New Orleans, but that was kind of a cool thing to do. Marino was doing commercials for it. I'm like... I had a little allowance money from cleaning the pool and bought them. We had a good year. We made the playoff. They deserved it.
That's pretty cool.
That is fun.
I like that. Yeah.
That is fun.
So you gave them a bonus of isotonic gloves.
Hopefully they earned it. Yeah, they made it
to
the playoff.
Back in the day, kids, Dan Marino was a great NFL quarterback, and gloves were kind of a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I don't know why they stopped being as big a deal.
I don't know.
Because you could just get them so cheap from China.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Marino and Isotoner is about as identifiable an endorsement among football players as I can remember. Like that, that was a very successful ad campaign.
Ace Ventura definitely helped that.
Ace Ventura? Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Marino is an Ace Ventura. Good call, Ben. Good call.
Are there any name brand gloves that people talk about anymore?
Text
that you
in.
See advertised on television?
I live in Houston.
Remember.
I don't wear gloves. I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know. Text in 713-572-4610.
Latex has caught on way more than in the 80s.
That's true. Last one from the Manning cast. Good job, Eli, on this one, saying goodbye to Bill Belichick. His final appearance on the Manning cast before he is now the North Carolina head coach full time. Here was the goodbye.
Bill, I just can't say it enough. Just thank you so much for joining us this year. We had a blast. It was more fun being your teammate and having to go against you. I know that much for sure.
I don't know. Pay, you can kind of speak for yourself
here.
There. I kind of like playing against Bill sometimes.
Okay. All right, Eve.
All right. Sorry. The truce is off now, Coach. Okay, truce is off.
The reference there, obviously, is the two Super Bowls that Eli was able to win against Bill Belichick.
A lot of times people make that as Giants versus the Patriots or Giants versus Belichick. It really needs to be Tom Coughlin versus Bill Belichick, because those guys both started off together with Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
As young assistants, and Belichick would obviously go on to have more total titles, but Coughlin every time
good,
he faced
man.
Belichick in a Super Bowl, Belichick would just couldn't get it done.
Yep,
couldn't get it. Didn't have the it factor, is what I like to say.
Belichick, he did not. Not in
He's
those.
Probably
games.
Scared of Coughlin.
Mm-hmm. Were you?
Because Belichick will fight dirty, and Coughlin, but he knew that he couldn't beat. He knew that he couldn't in a fist fight. Coughlin would just do the old skills he picked up at the YMCA in the day, and pop him right in the nose.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Deontay Johnson waived. Where did this experiment go wrong? I'll tell you what. One thing I want the Texans, even in the wake of the Deontay Johnson wave yesterday, to keep on doing. We'll talk about that coming up next.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Get up.
Hey, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a...
We were talking about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, during the break.
Various people were out to get me and all my conspiracies.
We weren't formulating conspiracy theories. We were talking about the
appeal of conspiracy theories.
The overabundance of them out there.
How easy it is to find one that suits however you want to feel.
Yeah.
It's to the point where it almost feels like that's becoming like an accepted form of logic. You're like, okay, what explanation makes me feel best about myself?
Yep.
And then, yes, that is it. It was a vast conspiracy that allows me to keep on feeling the same way I felt ever. I don't have to change my views or anything. I just, yes. That's conspiracy.
That's right. No conspiracy theory here. Deontay Johnson waived. I think we all know the reasons why.
Oh, I think we do.
Do you think we do? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're told it was because he was being a little truculent after the game on Saturday, but...
We don't know for sure. That's not what we were told, but as far as it was reported that he looked like he was down in the dumps after the game.
Yeah.
After the Texans' exciting victory the other day.
Yeah, he was down in the dumps.
The guy who three teams had parted ways with already in the last calendar year is waived yesterday.
Yeah.
And thus ends my weekly calling him an X Factor.
For more Deontay.
I cannot call him an X Factor anymore.
Yeah.
Other than the lack of him as an X Factor is a big issue for me in the game this week.
Yeah, no longer an X Factor, right?
Yeah.
Here is D'Amico Ryans yesterday at his press conference. Very first question, what happened with Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, with Deontay, unfortunately, it didn't work out, and you know, we're on to the Chiefs.
So Deontay Johnson, his career as a Texan, 3 catches, 24 yards.
Yeah.
Total.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Do you have a favorite Deontay Johnson memory from your time here?
I thought the play where he was open down in the red zone and Davis Mills had a bad pass.
Bounced it off his shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, it's a kind of a metaphor for his entire career as a Texan. It's just a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I sat and thought about this a lot yesterday as I was sulking over Deontay Johnson no longer being a Houston Texan, and I thought, man, it may feel a little too soon. I know there'll be some Deontay Johnson t-shirts out there, I'm sure, amongst the team in Kansas City. You know, they'll have their tribute t-shirts on.
The airbrushed picture of
Deontay Johnson. And I thought, boy, I can't wait to get my hands on one of those. And I sat and I thought and I said, what was my favorite Deontay Johnson play? My favorite memory. And it was either this against the Titans.
Davis calls for the ball. Here's pressure. Mills plants. Mills fires left sideline and caught. Deontay Johnson, first down. Yeah. Left side, 28-yard line. The toe tapper and the sticks move on the pass from Mills to Johnson.
Yeah, so it was either that or this one against the Chargers on third and forever.
Third and forever. Stroud looking, throwing underneath, got a man across the 20. It's Nico down to the 18-yard line. Rather, it's Deontay Johnson. I saw the 2, not the 8. His first catch of the game. Deontay Johnson, welcome to the playoffs with Houston. And the Texans don't get the first down, but they get back to the original line of scrimmage, and they can try a field goal on 4th and 10.
Yeah, so I'm having a hard time. Is it the 10-yard catch in the meaningless game against the Titans? Mm-hmm. Or is it the 12-yard catch on third and forever to set up 4th and 10?
How long was the field goal on that one?
I don't know, but I know it got made because Kyamie Fairbairn didn't miss a damn thing.
I just say your percentages go up a lot with an extra 10 yards fewer to kick. So
yeah,
that might have been if it had been a 3-point game. You know, it was a closer game.
I still haven't decided yet, man. I'm still struggling with which memory is my fondest one: the 10-yard meaningless catch. Or the 12-yard kind of meaningless catch.
I wonder, man, like what if it's just an inability to grasp a playbook or whatever it might be. We didn't even have time to really like grow to dislike him or anything.
Right, right.
It was they gave up nothing to get him, so it wasn't there wasn't any reason to dislike him. It was pure upside. So I don't have any issue at all with them bringing him on the team. His upside as a player physically is really, really good, but man, he's got to figure something out.
Yeah,
he still has that upside, but for whatever reason, 4 teams in a row now have been like, not for us.
I don't even want to minimize this. Like, he might have some issues, man. Like you get cut loose by 4 teams in a year. It may be beyond just like I need more snaps. You know, and I know this will not discourage Nick Caserio from continuing to do what he's done the last 2 years, which is churn the waiver wire, you know, like keep going and finding guys. Like last year was even more extreme than this year. Remember last year they got Derek Barnett and they got Tyrre Tart, Kareem Jackson, Adrian Amos was on this team for a few weeks. Like
Tyrre Tart made some nice plays in the game.
For the Chargers, yeah, he did. Yeah. He absolutely did. So
I guess the question would be, well, somebody earlier asked, like, hey, would the Chiefs possibly pick up Deontay Johnson just to try to pick his brain? Maybe I'm not worried about it, given that it seems like he might not have a lot to offer in terms of knowledge of the Texans offense, but it would really suck if the Chiefs picked him up just because, hey, it's more speed on the field and they figure out a way to get the ball to Deontay Johnson a few times.
If they did that, that would be the second time in the last month that he got picked up by a team who was playing his former employer the following week, because the Texans picked him up the week before the Ravens game on Christmas. So that would be a wild factoid right there.
Well, the only other team that put a claim in on Deontay Johnson was the Chargers when he was on waivers and the Texans picked him up.
Yeah.
So the Texans got him because of the order of the waiver wire.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs didn't do it the first time around, and if anything, they've gotten healthier at receivers since then.
Yeah, they ain't
right?
picking him up. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question. But
well, no, because the Chiefs are a team. You know, you go back to what's his name from a few years ago that they picked up midway through the season from the Giants.
Oh, Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius Toney, yeah. Kind of a head case, kind of a mess.
And they traded for him.
And they ended up winning a Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney. And it didn't last long into the next regular season. He didn't really do much for him. But they have done it before.
They have.
That's where I brought up Kadarius Toney as an example when the Texans picked up Deontay Johnson.
You did.
Like, all right, hey, you only need him for a few weeks.
Yeah. Do you think that it might be... Do you think it might be Mark Vandermeer's fault that Deontay Johnson is no longer a Houston Texan? Let's just re-listen to that second highlight right
here. Third and forever. Stroud looking, throwing underneath. Got a man across the 20. It's Nico down to the 18-yard line. Rather, it's Deontay Johnson. I saw the 2, not the 8.
Oh.
His first catch of the game.
Okay. Do you think Deontay Johnson felt a little disrespected there? Like, hey, I'm not Nico. I'm my own man. We both have 2 in our jersey. You just assumed it was Nico making a catch.
Yeah.
You think that happened?
Disrespect.
I don't think so.
Yeah. They might have been playing that in the tunnel or something after the game.
And he heard that? It's like, I got to
I did the same thing. I did a video recapping the 99-yard drive, and for whatever reason, it's because what I do, I accidentally called Robert Woods Robert Ford, which I don't think Robert Woods would ever get offended by because it's a show of respect to both those Roberts,
sure.
I think. That Robert Woods, Robert Ford, dependable veteran that you can rely on in the crunch. Yes, those both of them are that. So no offense taken. Hopefully,
yeah, no none taken. We actually got a text here. The text from a listener saying, "Hey guys, great show as always. Totally off subject, but I've listened to the other NFL team radio broadcasts and just makes me feel so fortunate that Mark Vandermeer calls Texans games. He's hands down the very best at what he does." So much better in the description and emotion compared to other announcers. Appreciate you guys as well. Best show on 610. Thank you. We appreciate that. And I know Vandy, if he's listening, appreciates that a whole lot more than my conspiracy theory on him saying it was Nico instead of Deontay Johnson, and that's why Deontay Johnson got waived.
It is. We're very, very lucky to have Robert Ford as the play-by-play to hear it for the Texans for 24 years.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Text message, The Coffee Bean is a good book. What was the energy book Seth mentioned?
It's called The Energy Bus.
The Energy Bus.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
That was for those of you who weren't listening. That's one of the books that D'Amico has in his office that he's read before.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. They're all good.
Yeah.
I don't with the self-help stuff. It's kind of like diets or just like nutrition in general. It's you gotta find what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of tend to like just dabble in a lot of them. And if there's one that I really like, I'll buy the actual actual physical version, the paper version of it instead of the Kindle app, and keep it on the bookshelf so I can just earmark some spots. And stuff. Yeah.
There you go. All right.
One last thing. So if it's got good reviews on Amazon, just try it. And maybe it speaks to you, maybe it doesn't.
The energy bus you're talking about here. Energy bus. Okay. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. All right. Let's get some thoughts on the other side about the Texans from the Chiefs. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and then the guy who's going to have to go up against Nico Collins. What is he saying about his battle coming up on Saturday? We'll have all of that coming up for you next.